filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he judged.
Seated. I want to go to the Word of God, and I want you to be reverent. I want you to hear the Word this morning that God has for the church. Go ahead and be finding the book of Haggai. If you go to the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, go back three books. That's where Haggai is found. Go to the very last book of the Old Testament, flip back three books. We're going to be in Haggai this morning. And going to talk about always eating but never full. Always eating but never full. As you see around us, and maybe you're going through this yourself this morning, and I want you to be honest. One thing we need to do when we come to the house of the Lord is be honest. Honest with ourselves and honest with God. Because no matter what we try to pretend we are or what kind of face we put on here at the church, God truly knows what we're thinking, what we're going through, what we need. And so there's no use in trying to pretend. And if we will come before God truly broken, God is able to fix us and restore us. But we must say, hey, I'm broken, and I need to be fixed. And even as Christians, we get broken sometimes. As Christians, there's damage to our house. Talking about this house. There's holes in the walls. The roof leaks sometimes. The floors need repairs. And it's important that we allow God, the contractor of all contractors, to repair us and to heal us when we're broken and to help sustain us and to strengthen us. The word in Haggai was what was considered a minor prophet, and his ministry only lasted 4 months. But in this four-month ministry that he had, he motivated the people to begin to rebuild the temple again. They had stopped working on the temple of God and began to only invest in their temple, building their houses while the house of God laid in waste, buying their cars while the house of God laid in waste, investing in their boats and their hunting equipment and their fishing gear while the house of God laid in waste. They had spent their time investing only in what pleased them instead of what pleased the Father. And we need to return back to a state as Christians I'm talking about. If you're not a Christian, it's going to mean something a little different to you. But to those of you that are already Christians, understand the enemy still comes in, and he still attacks us, and he still tries to tear us down. And sometimes it gets a foothold in our lives, and sometimes we become discouraged and afraid and angry and frustrated and upset. Sometimes we feel that God has left us and that God's abandoned us. Sometimes we get to a point that we don't think God hears us anymore, that we've done too much to be reconciled back to him, or we've done too much to be saved. Or sometimes we get to a point we question, will I ever hear you again? Will I ever feel your presence again? And I want to talk to those of you here this morning. I want to interject this. For those of you that have the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's important you walk in that again and operate in that again. Because what's happened, the enemy has came to many of you, and he has stolen that authority out of your lives, and he has stolen that power out of your lives. It's important to recognize how important that is. See, it's not for show in the church, it's for power in your life. That's what really the Holy Ghost is for. It's for everyday power to speak to the demons that are coming against you, to lay hands on your children, lay hands on your family, lay hands on your body, lay hands on your health, and speak the authority and the word of God over your lives. That's what it's for. And if the enemy can keep us from walking in that power and just get us to be just a normal, powerless, weakless Christian without really walking in that authority and really speaking forth that word. See, just simple prayers don't shake the devil. But when somebody is praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, the demons begin to shake, because that's what causes chains to fall. And that's what causes demons to leave. They can't be in the presence of when the Holy Ghost is moving. They just can't stand in the presence of the Holy Ghost. So it's important that we walk in that again. Now, for those of us that don't have that, it's a great gift to desire and a great gift to have and a great gift you should be seeking God for. Not for any kudos for God, but for you. See, it's for you. It's for your walk in life that you have authority that you just don't have without it. You have a power you just don't have without it. You're just like, it's almost like when Superman, you know, goes from Clark Kent into his outfit, everything changes. All of a sudden, the reporter Clark Kent becomes a superhero. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It calls us to have power above the normal earthly realm. It calls us to walk in things that we can't walk in the flesh. That's why the Bible says that when we don't know what to pray for, let's let the Spirit pray for us. Just let the Spirit pray. We don't know what we can pray for sometimes, so we just let the Spirit take over. The Spirit knows what we need. Even when we think we do know what we need, the Spirit knows more what we need. So it's important we walk in that. But that's not the message today. I just want to interject that to those of you that have that. Because what's happened is the enemy has come in, and as we've quit walking that way, it's robbed us of our joy and our authority and our peace. And the only way we can get those things back is to spend that time in the presence of God, seeking His face, spending time talking to our Heavenly Father. That's what makes all the difference. Have y'all found Haggai? All right. We're going to start with verse 3. Then the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying. We're in chapter 1, verse 3. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now, Now, I know this book and what this is talking about. Let me explain this, but this is where God turned me for this week. This is talking about the actual physical temple of the Old Covenant. They had stopped working on building it. They had gotten lazy and lackadaisical and began to only invest in their lives and kind of left God's house over here in the corner just not getting done. So I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about tying this into our spiritual house and how we see in the world we're in today that it is all about things, it's all about possessions, and we're leaving the most important part of our lives lying in waste. We are not investing into the temple of God what we should be investing. And we're eating all the time, but we're never satisfied. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. You can amen me or not. It don't matter to me. But those of you that have been in a true lifestyle of sin, seeking all those things and doing all those things that you know are not right, they never fill you. You're still empty. You're still craving more. You're never satisfied. This is why the person that begins to drink, it goes from one level to the next level to the next level. The person that does drugs, they say that pot is the gateway drug because you got to have more. It's just the entry level. You got to have more to get a bigger high, get a deeper buzz, whatever it is, you got to have more. You go from beer to liquor, from pot to crack. You go from a woman here and there to a woman all the time. You're never satisfied. We're always eating, but we're never filled. Why? Because what we're eating is not what we need to fill us. And the enemy keeps God's people. Now, I'm talking to God's people. I'm not talking to the sinners out there. The sinners, they're living, they don't have any. And let me tell you this. You can't, a sinner can't live like a Christian until they're saved. So I'm talking to you, the Christians today, God's people, and, you know, don't look at me like I don't do nothing, preacher. You're talking to, you're singing to the choir. I know. You heard about them choirs, how they act. I know who I'm preaching to. I'm part of the choir, too. And the enemy has come into Christian lives and etched his way in using the world system, just like he has everyone else. We have become a nation, a generation of people that is addicted to more. More of everything. One game system's not out for 12 months till the new one's already ready to take its place. A computer is outdated after 6 months old. You might as well get a new one. That's gone. We're addicted to more in everything that we do. Our restaurants have gone to buffets, big portions, more of everything, trying to satisfy, and the only thing that satisfies us as human beings is the peace of God in our soul. Church, that's all that's going to satisfy us. We're not going to find what we need in the world. We're not going to find what we need in alcohol or drugs or sex or we're not going to find it in that. We're still empty when it's all said and done. We're holding our head and we're like, why did I do that? Why am I in this? I know what God is speaking to me, but am I listening? I know, God, what you're trying to tell me, but I'm not listening. It's time to let you begin to repair my broken temple. Because as Christians, our house gets damaged. Because the enemy is continually throwing things against us. And there are times we fall. There are times we get damaged. But do we allow God to rebuild us? Or are we investing all of our time? And I just want to be real today. I want to be honest. And I don't know. I work all you want, but that's fine. Go off and do all these things. But understand, the less that you invest the Word of God, the weaker the temple you have is. It is time we invest in the temple of God. It's the only thing that lasts forever. Our hair goes gray and our skin grows wrinkled, but our soul goes on forever. It's time to invest in the temple of God and quit telling God why you're not in church. He don't care. He knows why you're not in church. Hearing the Word. I mean, we're here 3 times a week to offer service to people. 3 times a week. You know how many churches are only 1 time a week? We're here 3 times a week to hear the Word of God. I know we have lives to live, and I know we work, and I know we do all these things, but what's more important to you? Because I'm going to tell you something, church, and you know it. You know I'm being honest. If I had tickets to a concert or a game or Hollywood or cruise tickets, you'd drop everything to be there. You could work 80 hours this week, 24-hour shifts, but when it came Sunday, you're going to the game. I'm going to the race, boy. I'm pulling for my boy. Come on, Bush. Pull that corner four. Hey, honey, bring me another beer. Pull that corner four. There's Harvick. He's going to bump Meadow again. Watch this. He's going to get old Harvick. And nothing's going to stop us from that. We are investing our lives in things that are not eternal. This is why we are not full. And while we're always hungry and always empty and we're always searching. We're always searching to try to find that fix to make our lives at peace. You know what fixes our lives? Is the power of Jesus in our lives. That's what fixes it. Let's read on. Look at verse 4, or look at verse 5. Now therefore, saith the Lord, consider your ways. That's a good point, isn't it? Consider your ways. You have so much, but you've brought in little. Now, I want you to look at these verses. See if this relates to your life. You have sown much, but you have brought in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Go up to the mountain and let God begin to build the inside of you. See, we have grown desensitized as Christians to the Spirit of God. We've grown almost immune to it, church. And this is a danger point we're approaching. This is why, and I'm going to tell you, this is why so many Christians, so many believers, can never get settled or satisfied in one house of God. Because they've got to bounce to have something more to appeal to their senses. Instead of allowing the power of the Word to appeal to their soul. All we need is the power of God. All we need is His Word. All we need is His touch. All we need is to experience a moving of Jesus upon our flesh. That's all we need. We don't need the hype and the glamour and the Hollywood effect. We need the power of God. We need to feel the healing touch upon our flesh, upon our mind, upon our spirit. We need to let God build the temple again within us. We have grown cold as a society and as a people. We've grown cold. We've waxed cold in our hearts and our minds toward the things of God. All of us have. It's like the frog that is boiled in the pot as you slowly crank the heat. Each generation has cranked the heat a little bit. Each generation. Until we look back and see where we come from. If society had stopped Elvis Presley at the hip shaking, we wouldn't be in the generation of rap we are today. Each generation has increased. And we have slowly accepted that. And here's the danger for us as Christians. We're supposed to walk in power and authority. We're supposed to walk in joy and peace. We're supposed to walk with victory. And what the world has done and the system of the world has crept into our lives because we have failed to position ourselves under the covering of the Lord in the way we are supposed to, in the way that we used to. In our word daily, prayer daily, talking to God daily, spending time daily. But what happens in our world, we've allowed the world to dictate how we live our lives. We've allowed the world to tell us we need this and we need this. our young people, as they're growing and getting married and becoming in their 20s, they look at success measured on things and not on this. It's all about this that matters. It's not about things. Not about cars and houses and lands and possessions. It's about what's in here. Because one glorious day, the kingdom's going to be established. And we that are called by his name are going to be part of that kingdom. But if we refuse to allow God to build our temple. You know, we sung that song, what a powerful message, and that is the gospel right there. That is the gospel. He carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified me forever. The grace has been made available for us, church. But so many people are refusing it and rejecting it. And they're trampling all on it. It is time for us to examine our lives and say, Lord, I want a closer walk with you. I've allowed my temple to be damaged and I've not repaired it. I've got holes in my house, leaks in my roof, cracks in my floors. God, I want you to restore me again. It doesn't mean I'm unsaved. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's times we need a refreshing. We need a cleansing. And as I was praying this morning for the church, what I visualized was a shower from God washing all of our dirt and our filth away. Just washing us clean. We have become so grimed by the things of the world. We don't even realize it sometimes. We're kind of like Samson. Samson didn't realize how far he had gone until it was time for a fight. And when he shook himself, it was gone. He didn't even realize it was gone. He didn't know it was gone. We were at a park yesterday at a family reunion, and we were down at Sloan Park in Mooresville, and Mount Eulah, or Ola, however you pronounce that. And there's this bridge that goes over this water, and there was two or three snakes down there we saw, and the kids were down there messing with it, you know, Ashley and Jamie trying to catch them and stuff. We had to pull them back. Copperhead, not good idea. Please step back. But there was this pretty big, you know, copperhead snake. He was laying up on top of the rocks at this little creek. You can see it so good, right on top of the rocks. Well, it slithered off the rocks and swam down the creek a little bit, and it tucked itself into some branches that went across the creek. And if you hadn't known, if you hadn't had an eye on that snake, you would have known it was laying there because it looked just like one of the sticks. I told my mom at the bridge, we were down there looking at it, I said, that's just like how the enemy is. You don't know he's even there sometimes. You can't even recognize it sometimes. This is why we need an awareness, church. We need a wake-up call and be aware of spiritual things. We're in a spiritual world. There are demons all around us, and there are angels all around us. We are living in a spiritual world, much more than a human world. Because it's spirits that cause people to do the things they do. It's spirit of God that causes us to be saved. It's spirit of God that gives us gifts. Spirits of the enemy that causes murder and rape and drunkenness and sexual, all that. We're in a spiritual world. And so we have to guard against that, because what happens, the enemy, just like that copperhead, slithers his way into our life. And he banks up against us. And if we're not careful and not spent the time with God we're supposed to, we don't even realize he's attached to us. We carry him with us everywhere we go, not realizing he's right there growing on us until we're consumed. Once again, I talk about our salvation. I'm talking about consumed in our walk with God, consumed with our joy is gone. Our peace is gone. Our victory is gone. We're just hopeless and helpless. And then we've got to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. And we've got to come to God. And, you know, that's why I think it's very important that even as Christians, I mean, there are some folks, and if this is you, then you know, if it offends you, it offends you. There are some Christians that are so proud that they came to the altar one time to get saved that they don't have to ever come to the altar again. I've done my one altar call. I'm done. And then there's some of you that talk about folks that come to the altar on a regular basis. The same ones always. I don't know why they can't get it. I think they've got it. I think you're the one that got it. Pride, fear. Whenever God is so gracious and his arms are so open. And what I feel this morning, church, is that God wants to do a cleansing upon our lives. And I'm talking to Christians. I mean, if you're unsaved, you, of course, need to be saved. But I'm talking to the believers today that there needs to be a cleansing, that we've allowed the world to come in too much and rob us of our walk and our intimacy with God. It's kind of like having an affair on God. Well, we have just put other things before Him and not had intimate time with the Father. Church is important. We have that quiet time with God, that we just are still sometimes. There are times I come before God, I don't say anything. I'm just quiet, waiting on God to speak to me or waiting on God to speak through me. I'm just quiet. There's times I come before God, and as I'm quiet, the tears begin to come. There's times the prophetic word begins to come out of me. There's times that some of your faces come to my mind. See, it's in that time with God that He begins to really move and speak to us. You remember how it was? Can you remember this? When you got saved, how clean you felt. How refreshed you felt. Like all the weight was off of you. But we're not living that way as Christians. We're allowing too much to come into our lives. Too much the world is seeping in, and it's causing us to lose our intimacy with God. Remember the time you used to yearn to be in church, and now it's like, Lord, it's Sunday. The time you used to yearn to be in church. The time you used to yearn for the Spirit of God. The times you wanted the altar to open. You couldn't wait for the preacher to get done just so the altar could open. You couldn't wait for service to start. You couldn't wait for the man of God to walk up with the mic. You just couldn't wait to hear what he had to say. And we've gotten to a world where men of God are competing against things they can't compete against anymore. Can't compete against national events. Can't compete against vacations, sporting events, races. Can't compete against the clubs on Saturday night that keep some of you drunk on Sunday morning at home. Can't compete against that. There was a time people yearned to hear the Word of God. A time they longed to hear what God had to say. I'm not speaking to everyone here today. I realize I'm speaking to everyone in some way, but not everyone the same way. I know some of you do have a yearning and you love to be in the house of God. But there was a time, and I remember that time in my own life, where when my preacher walked out, I stuck on every word he said. Nothing else mattered. I didn't care who was getting in and out of the church. It didn't matter what was happening around me. I wasn't texting people. I wasn't whispering to my neighbor. I wasn't opening up candy bars. You know, I wasn't running out of church four or five times. I was glued to what the Word of God was saying. I mean, some of us, when we're watching a movie, shut up, idiot. Not now. You turn it up. But in the house of God, when the words being people in and out, looking around, not paying attention, talking, texting, but when it's something that's important to us, man, we're locked in. And I'm one like that. If we're watching TV in the living room, we can only talk during commercials. Hold it to the commercial. And then I'll mute it, and then we'll talk, and then it comes back, okay, play. Curtis, mute. Anybody else do that besides me? Okay, thank you. One person, me and Tammy's bad. We need to be at the altar. I feel that God is, He's stirring a hunger in many of you, and you're not filled because you're not filling with the right thing. You know there's more for you, and everything you're eating doesn't fill you up. You know the only beverage that truly quenches your thirst is water. It's the only thing that quenches your thirst. Really, I'm talking about scientifically and medically quenches your thirst. Soft drinks, sweet tea, coffee actually robs and absorbs water and takes it out of your body. It dehydrates you. Water satisfies you. Water quenches you. That's why Jesus compared himself to the living waters. When you receive me, you are filled with everything that you need. Water is pure. Water is colorless. It's the most purest thing, I guess, on earth that God made was water. I'm talking about, you know, clean water, not dirty water. Pure water. You go down to a creek and sip that creek when it's running over them rocks, where it's running, sip from that creek. Watch out for snakes and worms and caterpillars. Other than that, it's good water. It's pure and it's clean. You know how when you've been out in the yard working all day, Tim, you've been out there on that tractor, and you've been slinging it and riding it, and as you say, pulling the ox out of the ditch, and you got your boots and your jeans and your cowboy hat and your belt, and y'all sweaty and nasty, and you come in to hug Julie. Get off me, you stink. Well, you get in the shower. And, man, when you take that shower and that soap and you scrub, gosh, you feel so good, especially when you shower right before bed, right, because then you can go in bed clean, you're all cozy, and you feel just so clean and fresh. That's what God is wanting to do for our temple, is to shower us. See, we've lost our freshness. There's an odor stenching from the people of God. And God's wanting to clean us again. He's wanting us to walk in a place where we understand what righteous living is. That we're different from the world. That we shouldn't carry the stench of the world. That we're, what did Jesus say, we're the light of the world. We're the salt. We're a city up on a hill. We're supposed to be different. So I want to ask you, hey, God, the prophet says, how long will you lie, let your house lie in waste while the house of God? I mean, how long will you feed your house while the house of God lies in waste? How much longer can you keep doing what you're doing? Some of you are at the end of your rope. Some of you can't go no further. I mean, you're at the end of a rope like Indiana Jones, and alligators are right there at the bottom, and you have nowhere to go but let go. You're at the end, and the enemy is waiting to devour you. There's nowhere else to go. You've tried your way. It's not worked. It's time to get serious and say, God, I need you to restore my temple. I just want a cleansing bath from the Holy Spirit today to wash me and to make me clean again. Doesn't mean I'm not saved. I'm just not clean. When I come inside from mowing, I'm dirty and nasty, and I'm still Melanie's husband. I'm just a dirty, nasty husband. God wants to cleanse us. He wants to wash us today. How long will we continue to eat what we're eating and not be filled? God wants to fill us. There are some of you that God has plans for. He's speaking to your lives. He's got direction, ministry directions for your life. And we continue to reject and deny what God is calling us to do. Out of fear. Some of us feel trapped in our circumstance. We feel trapped in our situation. We feel like there's no way out of it, but there is a way out of it. We need to let the Holy Spirit come into our lives and help us. The world is going on. What did Jesus say? Is that his return will be just as in the days of Noah, when they were eating and marrying and drinking. What that message really says, I've heard it preached, but what the true meaning of what Jesus is comparing that to is that life was going on as normal and nobody was paying attention. Nobody was aware of the time they were in. Are you aware of the season that you're in today? Are you aware of the time you're in? Are you aware time like we know it will not always be? Are we where we're supposed to be? I was thinking this morning about creation. I started to read out of Romans, and God kind of rechanged it to Haggai. But in Romans 1, the Bible says that, and I'm going to paraphrase, that God made himself known pretty clearly by the creation that he created. There's no excuse for any mankind not to know there's a higher power. Psalm says that a fool says in his heart there is no God. I don't care how smart or how atheistic a person tries to be, they cannot look at creation. They can't look at the galaxies and the billions of galaxies they've discovered, the billions of stars, how this planet, this rock, this heavy rock, stays suspended in the middle of nothing. I mean, we're in the middle of nothing. Do you realize that? There's total abyss around us. There's blackness for billions of miles and billions and trillions. Man has not found the end of space or yet the deepest part of the sea man can't still get to. God showed himself. that there's no excuse. And I get sick of hearing atheists say, I don't believe in a God. What do you think, you idiot? Keeps everything in place. Really? The sun just burns on its own? Oh, it just burns on its own. The moon just rises and sets. We got half moon, quarter moon, crescent moon, banana moon, full moon. We got all the, it just happens. Really? The sun has never ceased to rise or set since God told it to rise and set. Ever. There's been a day and a night in my 39 years of living. There has been a day and a night every day. Have you ever woke up and it not be daytime? Ever. Never happened. We have seasons. And it ain't just one. I can understand if we just had seasons, you know, oh, it happened twice in 50 years. We have seasons. How often? Every year. Spring. Things begin. What causes everything to start budding? It just happens. I mean, Mr. Atheist walking down the road, I pour some Bud Light on these weeds. Oh, spring. I created spring. Woo! No. Everything begins to bud at the same time pretty much every year. Then comes the heat wave of summer every year. Then comes the fall. What causes the leaves all of a sudden to start changing colors and fall into the ground? How do the trees know to let go of their leaves? How do the trees know how to change to orange and brown and gold? Is Tree Charlie telling Tree Tom, time to change gold? He may be, but God's telling him to tell him. We can't look at creation. An atheist has no understanding if they really look at creation and still deny there's a supreme being in control of that, that we are not. But see, the hearts have been hardened and minds have been clouded because of the rejection of the grace of God. Romans 1 says, because when they knew God, they retained him not in their knowledge, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. See, God's made himself known. But if we continue to reject that and reject that and reject that, then we will form a mind that will no longer be able to receive that. And that's scripture, reprobate mind. That's not me. A reprobate mind is no longer able to receive truth. It's been sealed off because of rejection. You think you've got till next service to make things right, or you've got, you know, tonight to make things right, or you've got, you know, later to make things right. When God is speaking, it's important we react when he speaks. He may not speak exactly the same way again. You understand that? So many times through the years as a Christian, I would have altar calls, and I'd feel led to go up, but I just didn't. You know, God be pulling me. I mean, I could feel it, but I just didn't go up. And after service, I would feel so bad that I didn't obey because I knew God had something for me, and I didn't get it. God is wanting to shower you this morning, cleanse you. But before you can be showered with the cleansing grace of God, you must admit you're dirty. You must come up here and say, I'm not where I want to be. I've let too much get on me. I'm not living like I know to live, not being like I know to be. And I'm tired of carrying it around. I'm ready to surrender this morning, everything. I'm ready to throw my hands up and surrender. Bow your heads with me for a minute, if you would. Father, the word has come forth this morning from your prophet, Haggai. It's a powerful word for today, for this season, this time. How long will we allow your house, our temple, the Holy Spirit's temple, to lie in waste while we are investing in things of the world? We are so consumed, Father, with trying to get this and get that and feel this and feel that, but we are empty. God, we're empty and we're bankrupt and we're broken. We feel dirty and we feel lost. We want to be clean today. We want your presence to shower us. We may have been a Christian for 30, 40 years, but we want to feel a cleansing. We just need a cleansing. We need a touch. We need to step into the shower of your cleansing power to wash over us today. That our house is healed and our house is taken care of. As heads are bowed, I just want to ask you and open up the altar today that this is you this morning. You just want a cleansing touch from God. Nothing more. I just want to be clean. Something's missing. Something's lacking. I'm not happy. I don't have any peace. I know things aren't right. I'm ready to surrender. I want you to just walk up here and come to the altar and receive what God has for you today. To wash over you with cleansing power. Will you be honest today and say, I want a cleansing touch?